I'm your host, Al Cooley, Ghost in the Valley. Today we will be talking about Project Blue Book. Project Blue Book ran from 1952 to 1969, and it was formed by the United States government and the United States Air Force to study the activity of UFOs, if they existed, where they came from, and the scientific study performed by Dr. Alan Hynek. He was a professor and recruited by the United States Air Force to head Project Blue Book. He was joined by Air Force Captain Michael Quinn, and their job was to investigate UFO sightings. At first, Dr. Hynek was very skeptical of UFOs, but soon discovered he thought he was being duped by the United States Air Force and nothing more than a cover-up. Dr. Hynek used nothing but science to conduct his investigations, to come to the truth and the facts. Keep in mind, this was around the Cold War and at the height of the Cold War, and the numerous sightings were thought to be the Soviet Union. Now, they were thought to be that they were spying on us and threatening our citizens and our military bases. Project Blue Book was run from 1952 to 1969 for almost 17 years. Over those 17 years, there were 12,618 UFOs reported, and this information was documented on over 130,000 pages. Project Blue Book was closed at the very beginning of 1970 for three reasons. Number one, no UFO was ever a threat to our national security. Number two, no evidence collected was beyond our scientific knowledge. Number three, no evidence collected would indicate that any of these sightings were extraterrestrial vehicles. Now, what I want to do is I want to look at all three of those reasons. No UFO was ever a threat to our national security. That is a complete lie. If you have unidentified flying objects flying in, over, and around your United States fighter jets, that to me is a national security. If you have an unidentified flying object flying over your United States air bases over Washington, D.C., that is a national threat. Number two, no evidence collected was beyond our scientific knowledge. Again, false. Evidence collected at a couple crash sites from UFOs proved that this material from these vehicles or whatever fell from the sky were of a material of unknown origin. Nothing we have seen before. So I would say that's completely false also. Number three, no evidence collected would indicate that any of these sightings were extraterrestrial vehicles. Again, false. What vehicle made by mankind can travel to heights of 80,000 feet, over 6,000 miles an hour, maneuver right, left, up, down, and drop 80,000 feet to ocean level, ground level, hover there, back up, go forward, side to side, without killing anybody that would be inside, human anyway? I don't think a human being could survive that speed, at those maneuvers, at that altitude, anyway, no how. So I would say that the reason they closed down Project Blue Book, there was a reason, but it wasn't any of those three. But getting back to Project Blue Book, actually, Project Blue Book was a spinoff of Project Sign and Project Grudge. Project Sign operated from 1947 to 1949. Project Grudge ran from 1949 to 1952. Dr. Hynek was involved with these as well. Project Blue Book had two goals. Number one, to determine if UFOs were a threat to national security. Number two, to scientifically analyze UFO-related data. By the end of Project Blue Book, there were over 136,000 pages of data to go through. A lot of this data is still classified. And a lot of these sightings were concluded to be weather balloons, stars, meteors, the moon, cloud structures, conventional aircraft, and even bird formations. The UFO reports were archived and are available under the Freedom of Information Act. That is the sticky part. The Freedom of Information Report is available unless there is a national security issue. They concluded there was none. Then why all the secrecy and classified filings? Some 70 years later, still classified files not to be seen. We still haven't seen the files from Roswell. The talk of UFOs has always sparked people's interest. Billions of miles of space out there above us. Other planets, other galaxies. And are we the only race living among all these planets and galaxies? The little planet Earth, a speck in the universe, and we're the only planet with living life? Now, Project Blue Book derived from Project Sign and Project Grudge. On June 14th, in Roswell, New Mexico, in 1947, a rancher, Max Brazel, and his son Vernon were driving across their ranch. The ranch was located some 80 miles northwest of Roswell when they encountered scattered wreckage all across their property. This wreckage consisted of bright material, rubber strips, tinfoil that looked like tinfoil, and sticks. Now, I don't know why it took Max almost a month to go collect this evidence, but he collected some of the debris from the wreckage, and he took it to Roswell. He took it to the Sheriff's Department and gave it to Sheriff George Wilcox. Well, Sheriff Wilcox, he didn't know what to do with this material either, so he contacted Colonel Butch Blanchard at the Roswell Army Airfield. Colonel Blanchard contacted General Roger Ramey, commander of the 8th Air Force in Fort Worth, Texas. The general and intelligence officer Major Jesse Marcel traveled to the crash site and retrieved all the wreckage, including what rancher Max Brazel also had in his possession. So all this material was taken and determined to be classified, highly classified material information. Matter of fact, they even blocked off all that wreckage, all that land that the government took over. Now, intelligence officer Major Jesse Marcel released a statement to the Roswell Daily Record, a newspaper, along the headline that said, "The RAAF captured flying saucer on ranch in Roswell." That was a headline. Basically, the Air Force captured a flying saucer on a ranch in Roswell. The debris was sent to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, and it is believed the debris was sent to Hangar 18. Now, on a side note, I know this to be true because probably about 30 years ago, an Air Force veteran that lived next to my sister-in-law in St. Petersburg, Florida, was stationed at the Roswell base. He knew nothing of alien life that was reported or anything like that. But he did know that the material that was collected was not man-made. He does know that that material was sent to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And for years, the United States Air Force treated this man like gold. I don't know what his role part was at Roswell, but whatever it was very important. So the little bit of information that he did tell myself and my brother-in-law while we were vacationing there was very interesting. So my theory was there's something there that has always been covered up. There's something there went from a material that's not man-made to that the crash was a weather balloon, which is man-made. But that was just a side note that I did know somebody personally that worked at the Roswell base. Now let's fast forward to 1952. In Washington, D.C., a lot of people know it as the Washington Flap. On July 19, 1952, air traffic controller out of Washington National Airport spotted seven objects on his radar, 15 miles southwest of Washington, D.C. No known aircraft were in that area at that time. The movements were radical compared to traditional aircraft. President Truman sent up fighter jets to investigate these seven objects. So the military aircraft were deployed, one pilot to the other. Did you see that? They couldn't keep up with these objects. They were flying very, very fast. Some say over 6,000 miles an hour. They were in a V formation. President Truman had the CIA put together a panel to investigate all these sightings. And the panel had to come up with, what are they? And where did they come from? And the panel was called the Robertson Panel. So the Robertson Panel met for 3 days, where they interviewed military officers and the top people running Project Blue Book. They reviewed photos and film of the supposed UFOs. The panel concluded that there were no security threat and no evidence of extraterrestrial objects. These findings were not declassified until 1979, some 10 years after Project Blue Book ended. And I find this astonishing. Now, in 1966 to 1968, the Air Force and another committee looked into 59 UFO sightings that were investigated by Project Blue Book. The committee was headed by Dr. Edward Condon, known as the Condon Report. Now, the Condon Report shows no evidence of unusual activity and recommended that the Air Force stop investigations into UFO-related incidents. With this recommendation, Project Blue Book was soon to be closed. The Condon Report was nothing more than just shutting down Project Blue Book. This infuriated Dr. Hynek. In response to this, in 1974, astronomer and professor Alan Hynek, who served on the Project Blue Book, created the Center for UFO Studies. This organization continues, and it continues to look into UFO sightings and evidence of extraterrestrial activity. The United States of America is not the only country studying UFOs. Other countries with UFO panels and investigations are Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, Greece, and Sweden. Just to name a few. John F. Kennedy was directly aware of the reality of UFOs. The president was quoted as saying he would tell the American people the truth, but his hands were tied. He wanted to take control of the UFO program instead of letting NASA handle it. He feared that Russia would think if the UFOs flew over them, they would think it was an act of war from the United States of America. So Kennedy was definitely concerned with the UFO activity. Robert Kennedy as well was very in touch with Project Blue Book and their findings. In 1966, and this is also in the Project Blue Book files, and the following story I'm about to tell you is the reason why Close Encounters of the Third Kind was made. It was made because of this investigation that happened out of Portage County, which is a county right next to where I live, and it happened in 1966. Dell Spower was a deputy sheriff for Portage County in 1966. He was a big dude, about 6'7". He had a wicked sense of humor. He was a former gunner on a B-51 in the Korean War. He worked the night shift with his partner, Wilbur Neff, known as Barney to his friends. Spower was a good cop, and he was a good family man. He had a wife and two boys at home. But everything changed the morning of April 17, 1966. Spower and Neff were called out to an abandoned vehicle on the side of State Route 224 near the town of Atwater about 5 a.m. It was an isolated stretch of county road lined with trees. They got out of their car to investigate. That's when Spower spotted a glowing craft rising out of the woods. It reached treetop level and then began to move towards them. According to an article that appeared in the Record Courier the following day, it was shaped sort of like a ice cream cone, tipped on its side, a little pointed and sticking up in the back, and it made a sound like an overloaded transformer. When it came close, they could feel the heat baking off of it. Slowly, it turned east and went down 224. The two deputies returned to their cruiser and radioed to dispatch. The sergeant on duty told them to follow it, and the chase was on. The faster Spower pursued in his cruiser, the faster the object accelerated. Soon they were speeding down Old Route 14 into the rising sun, the odometer edging past 100 miles per hour. Occasionally, they had to stop for lights and traffic. Though when they did so, the craft slowed down too, like it was playing a game of cat and mouse with them. Along the way, Spower and Neff were joined by East Palestine police officer Wayne Huston, who followed in his own car. They chased the UFO all the way across into Pennsylvania, where Spower was finally forced to stop for gas, and another cop, Frank Panzanella, was already waiting at the service station. The four officers watched the UFO dart straight up into the sky and disappear. By the time that Spower made it home, the local newspaper had the story, they tailed a saucer for 86 miles. The national news picked it up, and within 3 days, they were getting calls from Japan. Spower and Neff were ridiculed. Neff took it in stride, but it really got to Spower, who lost 20 pounds from the stress of it all. Then the men from Project Blue Book, the military Cold War UFO investigation department, arrived. After interviewing everyone, they determined that the object the four officers saw that morning was the planet Venus, refracted through fog. You know, I find this funny, reporting this, because I'm gonna get to that in a minute. By all counts, Spower suffered an emotional breakdown after this. Within 6 months, he lost his job, he lost his wife divorced him, and left with their children. In October of 1966, a plane dealer reporter out of Cleveland found him living out of a motel, living off of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. 34 years old, and what did he have? Nothing. Everyone who knows me calls me Del Spower, the nut who chased a flying saucer. That's what he said. When Spower finally recovered, he settled in at Rocky River near Cleveland, Ohio. He remarried, opened a bar on West 65th Street and Detroit Road in Cleveland. On rare occasions, he would tell stories about the UFO he called Floyd. He did a little consulting for Steven Spielberg's movie, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, but walked off the set after he found out the man who was to play his character was not a cop. The film opens with a police officer chasing a UFO shaped kind of like an ice cream cone on its side. Now, Spower died in 1983. He never recovered from severe pneumonia after catching the flu, but everybody around Spower says he truly believed what he saw was an extraterrestrial. Nothing we made could fly like that. In Pennsylvania, it hovered over his car. He could feel the heat coming off of it. Then it went straight up and disappeared. Poof. Gone. But what is also as amazing is while traveling into Pennsylvania, they came at a bridge to cross, and everybody was so congested to get across this bridge chasing this UFO that by the time they got across the bridge, they thought, oh, it's already gone. But amazingly, the UFO waited on them to cross the bridge like it was playing with them. And also, all the film, all the photos that was taken during this chase were confiscated by the government, Project Blue Book, and they have never been seen since. And we're going to fast forward to in Trumbull County in 1994 when there was almost an identical situation happened almost 30 years later in Trumbull County. And I have those in previous episodes of Ghosts in the Valley of UFOs over Trumbull County. It's amazing to me that the stories are almost identical. You have law enforcement chasing unidentified flying objects at a high rate of speed. You have these things that can go out of sight in seconds. I mean, probably 10,000 miles an hour in seconds. I mean, numerous law enforcement officers chasing these things. in both Portage County and Trumbull County, Ohio, into Pennsylvania, and there to put in their report that it was nothing more than a weather balloon. So if anything, Project Blue Book did open a lot of people's eyes that maybe, just maybe, we're not alone. I'm your host, Al Cooley, Ghosts in the Valley.